promise that you're not gonna arrest me? No. I understand.
Come on.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome to episode 94 of Central City Underground. We are talking about The Flash today, and this is season 4, episode 3 of The Flash, titled Luck Be a Lady. I am Julia, aka The Elfie One.
And I'm Jada, aka Story's Voice.
Thanks for joining us today.
This week, we find our heroes battling a case of bad luck and broken hearts. As the Meta Hazard spreads her good luck through Central City, Barry and Iris attempt a spur-of-the-moment wedding. Meanwhile, Joe and Cecile battle broken pipes and an aging house. Oh yeah, and Harry's back. Woo-hoo. What he brings with him causes heartache and doubt to creep into Wally's mind. This was a crazy episode.
It sure was. It was goofy and pretty fun. What did you rate this episode?
I didn't give it too good of a rating. I gave it a 5.5. Ooh. Shoddy Atlantean plastic breakup cubes.
Wow, a 5.5.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I thought I was going low with a 7 out of 10. Boy who Ooh. Cried wolf breach alerts.
Yes.
Honestly, how many more times will they run to the breach for it to just be a friend? And then they're going to say, oh, it's just somebody coming to visit us, and then it will be somebody trying to kill them. I don't know. Wow, okay, yeah, you gave that a low one.
Yeah, I mean, it might improve by the end of the podcast.
I did have mixed feelings about this episode, for sure, and I think a lot of people on the Facebook group seem to have pretty mixed feelings about it as well. And I wondered how much of it was due to the writing. We didn't mention the writers for this episode.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This episode, as far as the writers go, we have Sam Chalson, I think that's how it's pronounced, and Judalina Neera. Sam Chalson's done an episode of The Flash before, but Judalina Neera has written 24 episodes.
Yeah, she's done quite a bit.
Yeah, yeah, so she's a Flash alumni.
Yeah, and Armin Kevorkian, who directed this episode, usually is, I believe, a special effects supervisor.
Wow.
And has directed an episode or two, but so his specialty is the special effects, which is interesting because there were definitely some special effects to talk about in this episode.
He's done 3, and he's done so much on so many other shows too. He's done a lot, but this episode, actually, there was special effects, lots of Thinker, but it still seemed a little effects light compared to some of the other stuff we've gotten in just the first 2 episodes.
Sure. The majority of it came at the end of the episode when everything was just going down with Lady Luck there.
Or maybe that was a testament to Kevorkian that I didn't notice as many special effects. It just blended in.
Maybe.
Hopefully that's the case.
Maybe that was it. He could direct this episode because the special effects weren't as heavy for him to supervise.
There you go. I think we've come to the point now where it's time for our Flash Fave 4.
Ah, yes.
What do you got for us this time, Julie?
So my first favorite thing about this episode was our sympathetic villain of the week. I thought she was adorable. I don't always feel sympathetic toward the villains, and we don't always get a whole lot of backstory with them, but I loved the setup we got for Becky at the beginning of the episode, watching her with her terrible, terrible luck, and then, seeing it all kind of turn around for her. But throughout, even when she was being sort of a quote-unquote villain, which I have some thoughts about how much of a villain she actually is, which we can talk about later. But I just thought she was adorable, and I really liked the actress. Her name is Sugar Lynn Beard, and that's an adorable name, but she was just great. I thought she was super cute and just a really kind of bizarre villain for them to face, but I liked her a lot.
That's interesting because one of my 2 things actually was similar. It wasn't so much the character, but the actress. I enjoyed her portrayal of it. There was a noticeable change between her before and her after gaining her meta abilities.
Absolutely.
Upon that second watch, I realized that in the beginning, it was just a noticeable change. She was quite flighty. She was kind of flighty afterwards as well, but it was more affected, more like It's just what she had to do to keep up appearances.
Sure. Well, she gained some confidence when she got her powers as well.
Right. Yeah. I enjoyed her portrayal of that very much.
Excellent. My second favorite thing, which there were a lot of lines in this show that I really loved. A lot of great lines by a lot of characters. The one that I chose for my flash fave for was Barry's line, "I slipped on a barrel of marbles. It was like I was in a cartoon." I loved that because it was just the show being aware of itself at that point and recognizing that, yeah, this is all really ridiculous. And our heroes are being put into absurd situations and we realize that and we are just dealing with it. So we're just gonna point it out. Yep, this is very much like being in a cartoon right now. I loved that.
I did too. I thought that was great. That was funny. I mean, what else? A barrel of marbles. My second thing that I liked the most about this episode was Joe.
Oh, nice.
Joe had good moments. Joe always has good moments. Papa Joe. But I like the emotional journey he went through this week. Because even though he didn't play it up, you could tell that for Joe West, that house meant quite a bit. I mean, he had that moment where he was talking to Barry about how he had seen his kids grow up there and all the wonderful things he had witnessed there and how he didn't want to leave it behind. But he also was insightful enough to know that it's just a house. And what he had with Cecile was so great that he could easily give that up. You don't see that a lot. A lot of times people, at least on TV, you know, will cling to the house or the object or whatever it is. That's the emotional MacGuffin of the moment. And refuse to grow or refuse to go down that road to something new. Joe did. Joe was like, okay, I can let this go for love. That's great. I love Joe. Joe's awesome.
And then he was rewarded for that by Cecile changing her mind in the end.
Yes. Oh, the end. Let's talk about Becky. Let's talk about Hazard.
All right.
Our, I guess, villain of the week. Like you said, less a villain, more a victim of circumstances that decides to take advantage of the opportunity.
Yeah, and the Thinker said something interesting at the beginning when he was watching her and talking about how her lack of self-confidence would make her easily manipulated, which again confirms that he is definitely behind this meta event, this dark matter event, that even though Team Flash was sort of responsible for it, he is still behind it. And he, you know, put those pieces into place and his chessboard, metaphorically speaking, or yes. Is it literally speaking, because he is playing chess in this episode?
Yes, you're right. In the very beginning, he said, I had some questions about the things he was saying. He was observing Becky and he was talking about the things she had gone through. The question is, where does that fall in time? Were these observations done before or after the event?
Well, the event happened, did it say 3 weeks ago?
Yes.
So he was observing her up until the incident. So I have to imagine at least for maybe a couple of weeks, maybe a month or more than that, up to the time when he decided that she should be on that bus.
That's what I find so interesting is that, yes, he's the Thinker. So I guess it plays in his wheelhouse. But that's a lot of thinking. That's 12 individuals that he's had to manipulate events and circumstances in order to get them to one spot in one bus at the same time, manipulate Team Flash. If that's the case, then wow, this is going to be interesting.
Yeah.
This is going to be very interesting.
Yeah, I would like to know how much control he actually has over this world. I saw something online somewhere about a theory that he even has something to do with Wally going away, that he put events in motion for that to happen. Whether or not that's true, we have yet to find out, but it'll be super interesting to know how much control he actually has over what has been going on since the beginning of this season.
That would be very interesting because in order to manipulate Wally in such a way, he would have to know of the alternate Earths and be able to manipulate events on alternate Earths as well. Wow. Wow, that's pretty powerful.
Did he have anything to do with Jesse breaking up with Wally? Did Becky's powers really have anything to do with that? Or was that always going to happen? That's one of my big questions. How many of the things that happened in this episode were because of her powers? Or were they things that just were going to happen anyway?
I have to admit, that's one good thing about this episode, is that it was written well enough so that you honestly wonder, because everything is just enough, or has just enough doubt, that it could have been bad luck due to Becky.
Sure.
Or just things could have been that way. Yeah.
Maybe your house is leaking because of bad luck, or maybe it's leaking because once King Shark ripped your roof off. And you didn't get the pipes fixed when they were all exposed when the roof was missing.
Forgot about that. Yeah. And Joe said, some memories in that house.
Oh, yeah.
What did he say? He said, this house is bitching.
He did. He did say that to the plumber, who said, no, that's not, no. But they keep bringing that up, don't they? So,
they do.
Man, that is gonna come back at some point. And for anybody who missed it on Facebook, I posted a link to the Arrowverse wiki page, which at the top of that webpage, it says, this wiki is bitchin'. So the Arrowverse people who are doing that Wikipedia have embraced that phrase as well. And I have to believe that it's going to come back at some point. And I wonder at what point in this season are we going to start hearing some more of those things that Barry was saying when he was in his beautiful mind state.
Yeah, that it does feel like it's leading us up to something.
So back to Becky, or Hazard, as we know her now. She seemed like a pretty harmless person to begin with. She just had a lot of bad luck. And I kind of wondered why gaining this good luck would turn her into a villain. I just sort of wondered why she would choose to rob a bank when she could just go to the casino and win all the money. You know what I mean?
Well, to be honest, most villains aren't made by incidents. Like, incidents don't make the villain.
Yeah.
That's something you gotta have inside you. Yeah, she very well could have decided, and she obviously has a handle on her powers, at least to some degree. When she was in the coffee shop with Barry, she demonstrated that. Like, they're tied to her emotions, and she can spike them when she wants to.
Oh, you think she has total control over that?
No, not total, but some degree of control.
Okay.
So she's aware of them, and she knows what she's doing. And even if she wasn't able to control them, you know what you're doing when you walk into a bank and you take money.
Right, yeah. I guess it was what she said about, she thought, you know, her bad luck had been, she'd had such bad luck for such a long time. And when it started to change, she just thought, well, I knew the universe would realize at some point that I needed good luck. So I wondered how much she was in control, or how much she thought, like, oh, I have a superpower, as opposed to just, I just have good luck now.
You know, I thought about that too, but then I remembered the scene on the bus, the blatant flash of energy and light that hit them all. And then right after that, she started getting good luck.
True.
She didn't, like I said, she seemed a little flighty, but she didn't seem stupid.
No.
And either way, you don't walk into a bank and take money. That's wrong. So, I mean, she could have done, like you said, you know, found a casino and just played craps until she was a millionaire. Right. But she didn't. She decided to rob a place.
Because more than one place. Otherwise, they would have no reason to arrest her, really. If she hadn't robbed the bank, she hadn't really done anything else wrong. All she had done was cause some bad luck for everybody.
Yep. And on one hand, it does feel kind of like they put that in there so they would have a reason to get her into Iron Heights.
Sure, yep. And maybe that's what my issue was. It just seemed like it was... Yeah. That was the only reason for it.
Yeah, it seemed a little forced. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Because not only that would have been so hard to find her, probably, if they didn't have those waypoints of, oh, something bad is happening here. You know, alarms going off at a bank.
Yeah.
If it had just been crazy spikes of luck, that would have been way too hard to quantify, I guess.
Yeah. I'm really curious about how she'll fit in with the rest of the 11 metas on that bus as well. Because will her good luck negate any of their powers? Will they, you know, if they all end up fighting together toward the end of this season, is her hilarious power going to affect any of her teammates negatively? I think that could be really fun and funny if they do it that way, and maybe frustrating for some of the other people from that bus. But that's another question that I had. How will that affect the rest of her team, and will she learn how to control it specifically toward Team Flash, or just toward the Flash, or whoever she is fighting?
Yeah, I wonder about that too. If we get a team up, quote unquote, with these 12 villains, will she have gained better control, or will the Thinker simply use her and manipulate her for her luck field? Because he said at some point, that she was the key to all of it. She would be pretty important despite her lack of control. And it's hard to say. I mean, if the Thinker can put together such an elaborate plot, possibly spanning alternate realities.
Right?
It's hard to say what he could possibly have for her, but it's something big, I'm sure.
Well, we'll find out. But her power did span pretty far and wide in this episode. When she went back to the casino and started to win big,
yeah,
it affected the entire city, including a plane in the air. What are the odds that a pilot would have a Canadian goose fly into its engine twice.
I'm not sure how I feel about the plane. I had a feeling she wasn't really, really trying. Like, she didn't seem like she was really trying to push her luck. But she was just kind of wanting and wishing hard. And just in the buildup of her power, of her wanting, of her wishing, of her winning, like you said, it expanded almost over the entire city. And it almost caused the plane to crash until it didn't. I don't know. I've got problems with that plane not crashing. Mm-hmm.
It was pretty low to the ground.
Both engines had burnt out, I believe. And then, we'll leave that to somebody else. Totally hand wavy. But it was great. It was a great way that the day was saved, I think.
Yes.
With Harry figuring it out in the last moment.
Harry saves the day.
Good to have Harry back.
It was great to have him back. And to have just Harry back, I think, was really great. Because I love the way that he and Sisko play off each other. And his entrance into this episode as... Wow. Heartbreaking as it was also pretty hilarious with the breakup cube. And I had a moment where I thought, is this Harry trying to trick Wally into thinking that Jesse has broken up with him because he doesn't want his daughter dating this guy? Or, oh, wait, no, this is a real thing that they have on his Earth, a breakup cube that even dispenses Kleenex when you need it.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. That was so cringy in a good way.
Poor Wally.
Yeah.
So sometime between the time that they had set up this date... And the time that she was supposed to be there, she decided to break up with him, which is a real bummer. He was waiting there with flowers and a giant teddy bear. And
yeah, that is kind of weird, which kind of lends a little bit of credit to the idea that the thinker might have had something to do with it. I mean, sure. I would like to think, because I like those guys together.
I do too, yeah. And I wonder, I don't think we've seen the last of Jessie. I think that she'll come back, and especially if Harry is on this Earth, even though she kicked him off the team, which I don't know how kicking him off the team means he has to totally leave his Earth, but...
But she has a team!
She does. I guess that's taking care of that entire universe. You don't even need Harry on that planet anymore, which is great, because then he can come back to us.
I feel bad for Harry, but I definitely want to see her team. Like, he builds our superhero team. That's gotta be awesome.
Right? Team Quick?
Yeah.
Jesse and the Quicksters.
Yeah. I kind of like that, too. But yeah, Harry was horrible in that scene. And, it was bad enough that Wally was dumped. It was bad enough that Wally was dumped with a breakup cube. But by far the worst was the fact that the breakup was just totally destroyed and just bastardized by Harry. He made it 1,000 times worse in his delivery. Yeah, it was traumatizing, and I wasn't even the one being dumped.
Oh.
Harry's back. Harry is back. That hair was a little bit out of control.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been taking some lessons from Sisko or something, using his shampoo.
And Wally. They're all just growing their hair out.
They are, yeah. It's a hairy season.
So while they're scrambling to figure out how to shut down the particle accelerator, Harry has the idea to just let it explode, which seems like a terrible idea, because usually when that happens, there are consequences. So I'm wondering, will we see some consequences of that? How do we know that that didn't just create more metas or do something else to Central City? Who knows? And how did he know that that was going to work?
And this is partly why I gave it such a low score. The science of that just made me go, really?
The hydrogen electron collision... something or other temporarily negated Hazard's powers. Okay. And I guess it reversed all of the bad things that were happening somehow because of it.
No.
Science.
Not only that, particle accelerators don't turn on and off like that. There's no on and off switch. They just don't work that way. That's not how they work.
It does if you just have really bad luck. That's the thing. This episode was just so goofy, and they just kind of went with anything could happen because it's just bad luck. I guess if you use luck as an excuse.
Yeah.
So Harry saves the day, and Barry is able to get himself out from underneath the sign in the casino, get himself uncuffed, and has that adorable moment when he cuffs Becky, and she says, what are the chances you're not going to arrest me right now? And he just gives him that little head shake. No, no, you're being arrested. Yeah. That's what I thought. That was just one of her adorable moments where I just loved that character and I loved the way Sugar Lynn was playing her. It was fantastic.
Again, credit to the actress, because for me, this episode was too goofy. It was just a little too much goofiness. But none of the goofiness that I object to was Hazard. I loved her start to finish. I loved her character. I loved the way she played her. I thought it was great. Like that scene, to tell you the truth, that scene probably done by someone else would have annoyed me. On top of all the goofiness and craziness that we had, you know, the handcuffs and the sign falling on Barry. Normally that would be just enough to push me over the edge. But then the way she played that kind of saved it for me. I was like, oh, yeah. I like this character. Cool.
Yeah, I think all in all, in this episode, the actors saved it for me because it was pretty goofy, but we have such an excellent cast for this show that they can pull off just about anything.
They can. Speaking of goofy, Barry and Iris.
Yes. Oh, their bad luck. Ugh. Losing, was it two wedding venues in one day, and then Iris trying to get them married right away after a funeral, which I thought was pretty out of character for Iris. I would not expect her to want to try and elope without even her father being there. You know, it seemed a little bit of a stretch, and I get it why they did it for this episode. And the priest's reaction to the cinnamon incense was pretty hilarious, and I mean, you could see that coming from a mile away as well. But yeah, that whole failed wedding scene was pretty bizarre.
Not my favorite. Not my favorite at all. It was funny. It was funny because it was written well, but I just didn't like it. I thought it was too much.
One of those goofy things that put it over the edge.
Yeah. And as well as they did act that scene, it in itself was just too much. Not that it was a bad scene. That's how I feel about that.
You're fine. Walk it off, Father.
Yeah. Oh, that's a nice coffin. Is it cedar?
Oh, Iris.
Oh, and Iris in that dress.
Yes. Oh, and Barry saw her in the dress, and he should not have. Does that mean she has to get a new dress?
I don't know how those things work. I don't know.
Only if you believe in the superstition.
Well, I mean, at this rate, those guys... I can see why right after she decided to go ahead and get married, because things were just falling apart.
Yeah, maybe they should burn some sage before the next episode, just in case.
Yeah.
But I think when they finally do get married, and hopefully, I would love to see this season end with Barry and Iris's wedding. Wouldn't that be lovely if we ended the season with a nice, happy wedding and everybody can come back for the wedding? Jesse can come back and maybe she and Wally will reunite and all of our other universe characters. That would be fun.
Get to see some Jay Garrett.
There you go. Yeah, everybody just come back to the wedding.
That would be nice. That would be wonderful and happy. And I don't... Yeah.
You don't think it's going to happen like that, do you?
No, of course not.
That's... I had to burst my bubble.
Sorry. As much as I would love to see that happen, it's too good of a chance to do something twisted to our heroes.
Yeah.
They can't just be happy. What craziness is that? But actually, it would be nice. It would be nice to see them allowed to be happy, because then we could get that out of the way. Because we know you guys are in love. We know. And I know it's CW. They have a certain romance quota they've got to meet or something.
Oh, yep. Of course.
But I'd like to see them, I don't know how to say that, get over themselves. Be married, be happy, and let the adventures ensue.
Sure. Well, we should not forget to talk about Wally, since everybody forgot that Wally wasn't in this episode.
I just forgot again.
Oh. You know, when he said that, I thought, oh my God, I didn't realize he wasn't there. That's terrible. And I saw a few people on Facebook say, you included, say that, oh yeah, I didn't even realize that he wasn't there for that whole event. He was not even in this earth anymore. He was visiting Jesse.
Now, as far as a viewer, I can understand how I could have forgotten. Because on the second watch, I was paying close attention, and he was there for the majority of the episode.
Yeah.
He only wasn't there for the major event.
Yes.
So I didn't feel quite as bad. I was like, okay, you guys got me. Now, for the viewers, it's okay if we forgot about Wally for the major event, because they've been sidelining him on purpose just so that they could do this, so that they could have that emotional, ha-ha, you forgot about Wally, didn't you? Oh, we're sorry, Wally. But for Team Flash, there's no excuse.
That's true. There really isn't.
He's literally family.
Yeah. And I'm sad to see him go. I hope that he doesn't go forever. I hope that he does come back, or that he at least gets to spend some time on another show. There's been some theories that he'll show up on the Titans show that's going to be coming up sometime soon, or maybe Legends of Tomorrow. Maybe he'll hop around from show to show. But I just, usually when a show is going to let somebody go, like they're going to kill somebody off or somebody's leaving a show, that person will get a really great episode chock full of meaty stuff for them to do, or it'll be a really emotional episode, sort of a good goodbye episode. And with Wally, I just feel like we did not get that at all. It felt like we were really lacking in that substance with him, which makes it pretty clear why they're taking him away, at least for a while. But I just wish that we had gotten something a little better to say goodbye on with him, you know?
And in one way, that's how I'm pretty certain he's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like you said to Joe, he's a speedster. He'll be there in a flash. Yeah.
True.
He'll come running is what he said.
Yeah. I did expect him to say I could be back in a flash, though. I did want him to say that.
That just feels right. He's going to Blue Valley.
Yes, which in the comics is originally where Kid Flash is from.
So that's pretty appropriate. Pretty appropriate.
But I wonder what the significance is in this show. We don't know anything about Blue Valley in this universe, do we? We don't know anybody from there. We don't know why he's going there as opposed to any particular other place.
Yeah, it could be anybody or any reason. It feels kind of like it was just another name drop, much like Bloodhaven. It's like, oh, we know that place. Yay. Yeah.
Or Atlantis, which I so hope we get to see someday.
Oh, yeah. we got to see Atlantis. I wonder if they can do that. I'm sure they can do that.
All we have to do is go over to the other Earth where it exists.
And see, that would be a great way to not have to show it a lot on Flash by saying it's in another Earth, so it was too difficult to get to, so every once in a while we can go there and then it'll be great. Yeah. I think they should so do that.
I think we need to go meet Jesse Quick's team and have a little trip to Atlantis.
Yes.
Field trip.
Yes. Oh, that would be a great Wally episode. See? I hope that's in the works.
Writers, if you're listening, make it happen.
Make it so. Yes, that would be great. What's sad is, I guess that's all that we can say about Wally is. There's not really more to say about
that's
Wally.
That's what I'm talking about. They didn't give him much of an episode to go out on. They just sort of made him disappear for a minute and then say, hey, you guys didn't realize I wasn't here, so I'm leaving.
Yeah, there's definitely more to it than that. Yeah, there better be more to it than that, because that's not right.
Was there anything that we have not hit on that we should talk about?
Oh, yes. That ending scene?
Oh, yes. A little bit of a bomb got dropped on Joe, didn't it?
That face was priceless. And the memes. Oh, the memes that I've seen.
Cecile is pregnant.
Wow. Wow.
They take one West son away, and a new West child is arriving.
You know, I didn't even think of that. Yes. Wow. And, you know, Joe has been around a lot of crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of forces and powers and peoples and things.
Yep.
I wonder if this kid's going to be a meta. I wonder what's going to happen. I wonder if they're really going to, like, have a kid that's...
Right? Oh,
I still understand his face, you know? I was like, wow!
I was right there with him. What? That is not what I was expecting. Although, as soon as she said something like, I have something to tell you, or whatever it was that she said, oh my god, she's pregnant. But up to that point, no, that never occurred to me. But then I was immediately worried for her, because she had just taken that terrible fall during the fiasco, the bad luck shenanigans that were going on, and I thought, gosh, I hope she and that baby are okay. Hope she goes to the doctor after this episode.
Right? Yeah, that's, I don't know what to think about that. That's going to be interesting. It'll be very interesting. Another West kid. Now, I don't even know what to say about it. That's such a out of left field thing to just drop at the end of the episode.
Right?
And I know they did it on purpose, and they did a great job with that.
And if she does have this baby, And then Barry and Iris get married. What if they have a baby? And then those babies will be just about the same age. And is that weird?
Oh, it hurts. That's as bad as thinking about time travel. That hurts my head.
Wow, I wonder where this is going.
This is going to be an interesting season. This is only episode three.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we have a lot more metas to find. We did get a couple of their faces on the bus. Yes. I recognized the actress that they showed. I saw on IMDb that she is in Scandal, I believe, but I also recognized her from a show called Longmire that I love. And the guy seemed sort of familiar as well. I haven't looked up who that is, but so we do have a couple of metas that we know their faces at this point, so I'm sure we'll be seeing them again soon. But there are a bunch more on that bus that we have yet to see.
Other than the four that we've seen, there's eight more.
Yep.
I wonder if they're really going to do an episode per meta, which, I mean, is possible.
Sure. I mean, we have enough episodes in the season that they absolutely could do that.
Yeah. And still have the filler necessary to balance everything out.
Yeah.
You know, deal with like Caitlin and Wally. And
sure. Yeah, we didn't deal with Caitlin at all this week, except for her to chastise Harry for his dealing with the cube situation. We are not done.
Yes, that was great. And the Thinker, he had more... Would you say he had more of a presence this week than he did last?
We saw him a couple times throughout the episode this week, as opposed to the first couple episodes where we only saw him at the very end. Yeah, this time we saw him at the beginning. We saw him sometime in the middle, I think, as well.
Yeah.
So they're breaking up that formula a little bit,
good.
Which I like. I like that they're doing that. So we'll see what else they do with him. And if we see more and more of him throughout, I would like that.
Oh, I would love that very much.
Because
yeah.
I think that might help to break up the villain of the week thing a little bit if we get consistency with our main villain as well.
Develop him a little bit so that
he's
more than just... It might get old if he's just the creepy super scientist sitting in the futuristic chair at the end of every episode. You know, it's like, who are you, dude? What's going on? I think we've covered most of the episode, unless you've got something else.
You know, I just thought of a thing that bugged me about the end of this episode, since we're talking about the Thinker. I would expect Cisco Ramon to study a Samuroid helmet extremely carefully and closely, and to find a live video feed within it before just placing it in Star Labs where it can spy on everybody.
Yeah.
How could he miss a thing like that? Or Caitlin, or any of them. How did nobody take that thing apart and study it?
This Earth has no concept of security.
Right? We just fixed the locks on the doors in Star Labs, and now we've got a security camera problem. Oh, man.
The good guys are just too trusting. Like, last season, it was Caitlin just had a piece of the Philosopher's Stone chilling on a shelf.
Yep.
You know, like, these guys don't believe in security. I don't know what it's going to take. It's been multiple people killing loved ones, and they still haven't figured it out yet.
That really bothered me. And I think they'll figure it out eventually, of course. They'll discover that the Thinker's been watching them, and they'll think, oh, but how? And then somebody will look over at the Samuroid helmet and go, oh, whoops. And now that Harry has figured out that the metas are connected somehow to the man behind the Samuroid, maybe they'll figure that out a little sooner. Maybe they will say, oh, well, maybe we should study the Samuroid helmet to try and figure out who this guy is so that we can find him. Because if he's behind this event, then maybe we should study it a little bit more. Do something, yes.
Right, exactly. Which is good. I'm glad Harry is back because obviously we need him.
Yes.
Oh, and we didn't really discuss that great little scene between Harry and Cisco either, which was...
Oh, when Cisco told him that he was family and that he could come back. Yes.
Yeah.
You always have a home here. I loved that. That was really sweet.
You saved the day. And, well, your family. Like,
yeah.
That was great. Yeah, so Harry's here. So maybe he'll pick up the slack that Cisco is obviously generating. Cisco's spending too much time with that young girl, I think. He's he's starting to let things go, like security.
Well, how about we do a little bit of feedback?
Feedback. I like it.
All right. Well, I have some feedback here from Christy. And Christy says, this villain was really fascinating to me because she was a formidable foe for Barry without her actually having to do much of anything. And Barry wasn't even the one to defeat her. Harry's idea to let the particle accelerator explode again was brilliant, although the explanation of how that counteracted her powers was a little hand-wavy. Also, how does a plane with an engine on fire just magically heal itself and resume flying? Yes. Great question, Christy. I do like that the team was able to figure out that all these events since the beginning of the season are somehow connected, instead of the writers leaving the team in the dark for half the season. I do think that helmet with the hidden camera should have been locked in a vault once they realized what was going on. I can't believe Cecile is pregnant. What an odd thing to insert into this storyline, considering they're basically empty nesters right now. It's hard for me to imagine Joe with an infant, but his reaction face was perfection. Thank you, Christy. Great feedback. And great questions.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because... Wow. Oh, the plane. Again, the plane thing really got me, but I won't go there again.
Did you notice when they were able to fly again and the pilot who had originally said, "What are the odds about the goose?" And he says, "Oh, it's fixed itself." And the other pilot just said, "Good."
Yeah.
That's all he had to say about it was good.
You know, I guess if you live in Central City or in that area, you're just used to such wacky things. Right.
Gotta get out of this.
You don't
town.
Question anymore. Yeah. I have a feedback here from our very own Green Butterfly. And it says, "Hi, this is your Eye in the Sky Green Butterfly. Well, that was a fun episode. Kind of silly and ridiculous, but fun. A breakup cube? Really, Jesse?" So I was thinking about the Thinker. Can he control metahumans? He was playing chess. Are the metahumans his pieces? Is he able to reach other Earths? Did he manipulate Jesse to break up with Wally to drive him out of Central City? To weaken Team Flash, leaving them with a single speedster? And if he can manipulate the multiverse, then perhaps the Thinker will play a role in the crossover. These are just things I'm thinking about. Have a super week. Love, Green Butterfly." Thank you, Green Butterfly. What great feedback. And yeah, totally the same questions we had. Can the Thinker reach or influence across the multiverse?
Yeah, and maybe he will have something to do with the crossover episodes. That would be fun.
That would be great. That would be great. That would be actually, wow, yeah, that oh, that opens up so many possibilities.
All right, we've got one here from Just Mike. "Really strong episode. I thought the humor and character moments really hit, and I enjoyed the way that the subtext of Wally being overlooked became text. I also dug the smart way they brought Harry back. They give us the hashtag metabus and put 12 mystery villains on two boards while also setting up a chess match between the Thinker and Team Flash. Color me intrigued."
Yeah, that's great, Mike. That's great. I totally forgot the metabus. I love that.
Well, we have some very special feedback from a very good friend of this podcast, somebody that I know we all miss and love very much. So let's play that audio feedback.
"Hello, everybody. This is Tony, just sending in some feedback to Central City Underground for the new episode of Flash with Hazard. That was very fun. I just want to say, Julia and Jada, I love what you guys are doing with the podcast. It's great listening to you. Keep having fun. It's terrific work so far, and I love hearing everybody's feedback and jumping in as a listener. It's a very cool thing to do. I liked this episode. The craziness got a little much, I thought, but that's also part of the point, was the craziness getting a little much. What a weird, fun superpower for her to have. And, we wanted more villains with that weren't speedsters, and we're getting them. And I love that they're not afraid to try crazy, ridiculous things and give us an episode that's a lot of comedy, just loose fun, you know. So, yeah, I really liked this one. But I love the way that in all the episodes so far, they're setting up the Thinker. Because what in the heck is his plan? I have no idea. But watching it all come together, you know, from the very beginning when he was the one to set up the Samuroid and welcome Flash home, why is he doing it and what's his goal? I love that we're just getting little hints at that and just waiting for it to unravel. So, I'm looking forward to seeing more and listening to more of the podcast. Thanks, you guys. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, Tony. It's so good to hear from you.
Yeah, Tony, yeah, that was great. It was good to hear Tony's whiskey. I forgot how it's in. Thanks, Tony. We appreciate the good words and the great feedback.
And yeah, what is the thinker's end game?
Hopefully, episode by episode, we can narrow it down and sure. focus in more onto what could possibly be his reasonings or what he could possibly want for this. The thinker's got me thinking.
Right? He is controlling us right now. He's making us think so much.
Oh, so meta.
All right. Well, I think that does it for this episode of Central City Underground. Thank you all so much for joining us this week. Thanks for sending in feedback and chatting with us on the Facebook group. If you haven't found us there, search on Facebook for Central City Underground. You'll find a great community of people talking about the show. And you can find us on Twitter at TheFlashGSM. We will post our podcasts there and retweet fun things from other Flash fans. So find us on Twitter and Facebook and at Golden Spiral Media, where you can send in feedback and listen to our podcast every week. Thank you so much for listening. This is Julia.
And this is Jada.
Signing off. Until next time.
Until next time.
Are you a podcaster who loves creating great content but gets overwhelmed by the audio editing process? Are you a business professional or an entrepreneur that wants to start a podcast but aren't sure where to begin? You need Pro Podcast Solutions. Pro Podcast Solutions has a robust suite of services to equip podcasters and help podcasters create better content than ever before. Visit ProPodcastSolutions.com today and find out how you can get your first episode produced for free. That's ProPodcastSolutions.com.